Welcome to Partnering with Parents, brought to you by the Classical Academies. Join us every other Tuesday as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
Well, I'm Cameron Curry. I'm the CEO for the Classical Academies, and very excited to be offering another podcast for our community. Today, we're going to be talking with one of our social and emotional counselors with the Classical Academies, and our topic is recognizing childhood depression and when to be concerned. So welcome to the program, Lisa Taylor.
Thanks, Cameron. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, Lisa, give us a little background about yourself and how long you've been with the organization.
Absolutely. I've been with the Classical Academies for 6 years as a parent.
Wow.
I have a freshman and a junior at Classical Academy High School, and I also have a sixth grader and a third grader at Coastal Academy. Then I came on staff a little over a year ago as the school counselor at Coastal Academy. And we're also a military family. My husband is a chaplain in the Navy. So a large part of his role is also counseling and working through social, emotional, and spiritual issues with Marines and sailors.
You are deeply involved. That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
So as a school counselor, you work with students daily. Have you seen a rise in depression among students?
Yes, I definitely have. I am meeting with students almost daily who are struggling with depression. Sometimes students reach out to me on their own, but I am mostly hearing from parents who recognize that their child is struggling because they see that they are either unmotivated, acting out in anger, or just withdrawing. And parents aren't sure how to decipher between like what's typical adolescent or teenage behavior, what's typical for being in the pandemic. I mean, does anybody really know? What's hormones, and or if what they're seeing in their child is actually depression. So for sure, the amount of time spent at home and not being at school or engaging in their normal activities has taken a huge toll on our kids. They are all fighting the constant battle of maintaining normal rhythms of life and some kind of daily schedule. For many of our teens, the new normal over this past year has become stay up late, right? Sleep late, zone out on social media, or play video games all day and not engage in their Zoom classes or socialize with friends. And for the kids who were dealing with depression before COVID, the isolation and the ease of disengaging has caused their depression to worsen. And then, of course, there are kids who have developed depression during this past year due to these huge changes. And what we know is that kids, or I guess most humans actually, typically do better and are more productive when they have a routine in place and when there are clear expectations. But both of these have fallen by the wayside. So in addition, we are seeing how right now depression is affecting students on both sides of the spectrum. We have our normally high achieving students who are now harming themselves due to high levels of anxiety, stress, hopelessness, and feelings of despair over the current situation, and they have fear of the future. These are the types of kids that tend to put a ton of pressure on themselves, and they feel like they're not thriving in their online classes, and therefore they're not going to exceed at life. In the past, these are the kids where going to school is where they found success, and they are not feeling that same level of success right now. And on the other side of the spectrum, we have the kids who tend to struggle more academically, and they are withdrawing due to feelings of hopelessness. Staying on top of their schoolwork at home has been extremely overwhelming for them. They've fallen behind, and they're wondering why they should even bother. Many of these kids are the ones who, ironically, would typically complain about going to school, and now they're wishing they could be back in school. So right now, Cameron, no matter who it is, everyone feels like they're in this uphill battle that never ends. And we all know what it feels like to constantly be climbing uphill. It's defeating and exhausting emotionally, physically, and mentally. And there just hasn't been much reprieve.
So Lisa, for our parents and the community that are listening, so what are the symptoms of depression, and how do you differentiate depression from just a normal bad behavior or just having a bad day?
Well, okay, so depression is more than just like a bad mood or a stint of irritability, right? It's a mood disorder, and it causes persistent feelings of sadness and loss of interest. And depression typically doesn't go away with time. Many of our teens who are experiencing any form of depression are reporting that they feel like they're alone and that they have no one to talk to or that no one will understand them. And I think it's important to note that when kids are suffering with depression, they don't want to feel this way. And so for us, learning more about it and then reaching out to your child, there is really a lot you can help them to do to get through this difficulty time. So what we do know is that there's 9 different types of depression. And for the sake of today, I want to focus on major depression disorder because it's the most common type of depression and likely what we are seeing right now in many of our adolescents and teens. So the main 2 symptoms that parents should be watching out for is 1, an irritable or depressed mood, and that should be happening consistently for 2 or more weeks. And particularly in boys, that irritability can look like anger or aggression. It can obviously manifest itself that way in girls as well, but depression manifesting as anger is more common in boys. And the second main symptom is a loss of interest in most or all activities that the child was once interested in. And this is probably the most signifying symptom of depression. So if your child has always enjoyed baseball or dance or surfing or hanging out with friends, and you can see that they have lost interest in doing these things for at least 2 weeks, this is one of the clearest indications that your child might be struggling with depression. And the reason why is because the first instinct of people who feel depressed is to withdraw. But when they do withdraw, they begin feeling isolated. And when they feel isolated, it creates feelings of anxiety, which then lead to depression. And it becomes this cycle of, I feel depressed, so I withdraw. When I'm withdrawn, I feel isolated, and that doesn't feel good and hasn't fixed my problem. And so I feel anxious, and it definitely becomes a cycle. Additional symptoms that parents should be looking out for are an increase or decrease in appetite. And this would obviously coincide with gaining or losing weight, because food can be used as a coping mechanism for comfort, or for some kids, it's used as something that they can control. And we might see an eating disorder come as a result. If you're seeing a big change in your child's sleeping habits, there could be cause for concern. Some kids will experience insomnia or difficulty falling asleep due to their thoughts are racing and they're feeling hopeless and despair at night when they're trying to fall asleep and it's keeping them up at night. Or on the flip side, some kids are going to use sleep as a coping mechanism to escape from the pain that they're feeling. In addition, if you've got kids who are up all night, then they may be fatigued throughout the day right. after day, moving slower, right? They're moving slower. And so that's a sign of depression as well. And for parents, I think that when you're trying to think about these symptoms and figure this out, it's not a bad idea to track some of this. Keep a journal, keep a log, take some notes. And I think that once parents are tracking this for a couple of weeks, it will become evident. Like, oh yeah, no, my kid's having a bad day, or no, yep, this could be depression. But in addition, there's a couple more symptoms. Some students will begin to do badly in school, seeing a drop in their grades, or that they're just not producing the same quality of work.
Just their whole engagement. Exactly.
Totally. Because it affects their focus. It's hard to concentrate, right? And to focus on your schoolwork when you're feeling depressed. Adolescents and teens are struggling more than ever to see their value and significance right now. So low self-esteem is a common symptom. There's this feeling right now among kids, and especially teens, that life and future are grim and things are bleak. There's thoughts of worthlessness and guilt. You might hear them say things like, I'm just worthless, or I can't live up to anyone's expectations. I'm ugly. No one likes me. Things never work out for me. And similarly, the child may come across as apathetic. They're just overwhelmed and disappointed with the daily occurrences of life. And I think it's important that parents realize that this is a big one, because the child has lost sight of the fact that being happy and content in life is actually what is normal. So when you are seeing this pattern, it's really important to note.
Okay.
And finally, you know, the topic that all counselors are prepared to talk about is suicide. Your child having thoughts of suicide or self-harming, or there's a suicide attempt, then that's definitely a clear indicator of depression. It should be noted that suicide is the second leading cause of death among teenagers after car accidents. And obviously, that's a really big deal.
Right.
And an important reason for all of us as parents and caregivers, we need to raise our awareness and understanding about this mental health condition. Typically, girls are more susceptible to depression, but boys are far more likely to commit suicide. To the tune of 81% of yearly suicides are males.
Wow.
And I know. And currently, there's this, I don't know, it's this overarching negative sentiment, I guess, among teens. And it goes something like this. I'm not going to kill myself, but if I do not wake up tomorrow morning, that's fine by me. In fact, it would be ideal, which is obviously horribly sad, because it's like this passive suicidality. Kids don't wish to die. They just want their internal suffering to end. The overwhelming anxieties and pressure and emotions have really become a primary task for children to deal with, and it's a lot for them to handle.
So when it comes to the symptoms of depression, when should parents be concerned, and what steps should they take if they do have concerns?
Yeah, I think that if you think your child is struggling with depression, start by learning about it and trying to understand what it is so that you can help them not feel so alone in this battle. Make yourself available by letting them know you're there to talk or just to listen when they're ready. Ask questions. That's a big one for parents. And I think it's that one that falls by the wayside because, again, as parents, when we get nervous or scared for our kids, we want to take control and we want to fix it. But in this kind of situation, it's better to ask questions, but not in an interrogative type way. Some teens are going to have a harder time opening up about how they're really feeling or how deep the pain goes. So one place to start, or a question you could ask, is something like, hey, I noticed you seem down lately. Is everything okay with you? Or is there something we should be talking about? Because we want to remember that your child wants more than anything to not feel like this. And feeling depressed is not their fault. There's not a switch that they can just flip and turn off these emotions. Rather, depression is a serious mental condition and it needs treatment. So some other things that parents can be doing, or steps they can take if they have concerns, is to establish healthy rhythms at home. Like get outside, exercise together, family dinners, and limiting screen time is a really big one. Right now, all the experts are saying no more than 2 hours a day, not including time on the screen for schoolwork. And that will go a long way in promoting healthy mental health habits. Normalizing these conversations in our home about mental health is a huge step in just removing the stigma that's often attached to mental health issues, because it opens the door to these topics and exploring these conversations in a way that our kids can really process these things with us. There's typically so much shame and self-doubt associated with mental health issues, and especially depression. So seeking to really understand why they are feeling and experiencing this can go a long way in helping our kids feel supported. Also, understanding the risk factors. So students who are bullied are at a much higher risk of depression and suicide. Certain minorities, the LGBTQIA+ community, and some students who are disabled are at a higher risk for suicide. And, you know, kids who are struggling with the depression, they already feel so much guilt and they don't want to be a burden. So they need your empathy and to know you're available to them, free of fear and judgment.
It's huge.
It's huge.
So Lisa, are there particular resources out there that can help support our families that are, first of all, maybe just looking into this or in the midst of dealing with a child with depression?
Absolutely. There are some great resources out there. And so depending on where you and your child are at on this depression journey, starting with just your child's pediatrician or their doctor is a great place to start. Just talking with them about the symptoms you are seeing, they will typically know of mental health professionals to connect you with or be able to refer you out. And I think that whenever parents have a child who is suffering from depression, they don't always think of going to their primary care doctor first, but that is a good place to start. Mm-hmm. Seek out a counselor on your own, because obviously seeing a counselor regularly is such a healthy lifelong tool for coping with the social, emotional, and relational challenges that we experience on a daily basis. So a good counselor will be able to offer support and help your child find ways to manage their depression. And also, if you need help finding a counselor, that falls under the role of our school counselors have an entire directory of counselors and therapists that we can share with you. Two awesome websites are familyaware.org and crisistextline.org. Both of these have a plethora of resources on their websites, like a depression analyzer, suicide prevention information, a self-help management or anxiety management app, coping skills resources, things like that. And finally, if you feel like your child is suicidal or self-harming, they can text HOME, that's home, to 741-741 and get free in-the-moment crisis counseling.
Well, that's awesome, Lisa. I think we've given our parents so much to think about. And really, this is the time, Mom and Dad, when you're not experiencing these problems, that you really should be having conversations around this and really work on your toolbox, things that you can have at the house, information that you've studied, friends that you have that you can turn to in a moment's notice that, you know, God forbid that you would be dealing with a son or daughter that is depressed. And Lisa, I love the fact that you've pointed us to, let's go talk to our doctor. Let's talk to somebody who's medically trained, who you can have a, you know, casual conversation with and gather some tools and information that can help better equip you as a mom and dad dealing with your son and daughter during this time.
You're exactly right. And you know what else, Cameron? Let them be a part of the process. Ask them, what doctor would you like to see? Hey, what do you think about seeing a counselor? Who sounds appealing to you? And you kind of look through the list together. Involving them in the process is the best way to get buy-in from your child. So I think that's really important to note as well.
And the other thing I've learned from past conversations as we wrap up our time together today is, Mom and Dad, we sometimes struggle emotionally to figure out how we feel about certain things. And so turning to your son or daughter and saying, well, how do you feel about this and how do you feel about that? We've had past guests share with us that the numbering system is really important. You know, one is I'm not feeling great at all, and 10 is I'm, you know, it's a celebrating day, I'm feeling great. And so to be able to ask your son or daughter as they start the day, as they end the day, you know, what's their number? And you can get a real good sense of how they're doing, even though they're not able to maybe articulate exactly what those feelings are. If they're sharing with you a 7 or an 8, that's great. You know, if they're telling you that today was a 2 and a 3, you need to keep an eye on that. And that can be an indicator just for them to articulate to you where they're at and can really be something that you can use to move them forward to, you know, seeking the treatment that they need or the information that you need. So just another helpful tool we'd like to share with our parents today.
Absolutely, Cameron. That's actually a tool that I use every single day as I meet with students. Right now, I'm checking in on their motivation level. What's your motivation like getting up every morning? How anxious do you feel right now on a scale of 1 to 10? Those are definitely questions I'm asking students as well. And it is a great indicator to let you know where they're at.
Well, that's great. Well, Lisa, for our community that may need some social and emotional support through the Classical Academies, how do parents access the social and emotional team that we have in place?
Absolutely. Each campus has a social emotional counselor. And so reaching out to us over email is probably the best way to get a hold of somebody, and we'd be happy to visit with you.
And I think that that distribution list can be found at, if you just email counselors@classicalacademy.com, just identify the age of your student and the campus that you're at. And then one of those counselors that are assigned to that specific site will return your email or phone call within 24 hours.
That's right. Thank you.
Well, Lisa, thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Partnering with Parents is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. Suggest a future episode or advertise with us by visiting classicalacademy.com/podcast. Consider subscribing to our channel, leaving us a review, and supporting our Patreon page. Thanks for listening.